Today's scripture is Luke 9, 1 till 11.
Luke 10.
It says 9.
It's 10.
It's 10.
Okay. I was
sorry.
Just saying, I don't have a sermon prepared on Luke 9.
Kathy said 9.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plenty, and the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near.'" God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning tells the story of how early Christians began to share the good news of Jesus with others. They didn't do it by renting out a stadium and reading aloud the Gospel of Luke. Nor did they do it by seizing Rome, burning it to the ground, and by declaring the start of a new Christian nation. No, they did it by traveling around, two by two, from town to town, giving and also receiving hospitality. Hospitality is the art of caring for guests. Sometimes guests are people that we know well, but occasionally guests will be strangers. The laborers begin their ministry by giving hospitality to the towns they enter. They go out in pairs, because pairs is a lot less intimidating than a group of 70. They carry no purse, no bag, or no sandal with them, because they don't want the people they meet to be intimidated by their stuff. When they enter a town and its people welcome them, they are to eat what is set before them, cure the sick, and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Giving hospitality allows us to do for others. We recognize someone else's need, and we work hard to meet that need. Giving hospitality is fun because it doesn't really require us to be vulnerable with people that we don't know well. On the other hand, receiving hospitality requires vulnerability, but it is the only way that we can truly be with others. The 70 carry no purse, no bag, and no sandal with them, because that is the only way to force them to rely on the hospitality of the towns they enter. Early in their journey, the laborers realize that not every town is super excited that they're there. Some towns flat out refuse to provide the laborers with hospitality. Jesus has special instructions for those towns. He tells the 70, "Even the dust of your town you can wipe off your feet as a warning to you. But be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near." What Jesus is doing here is he's reiterating what we learned in our scripture passage from last week. Disciples of Jesus are not allowed to respond to unwelcome with violence, ridicule, or anger. In other words, we don't burn unwelcoming towns to the ground. Jesus tells the 70, "You can tell a town that the kingdom of God has come near. That doesn't change if the town doesn't welcome you. But if they don't welcome you, you shake the dust off your feet and you move on to the next town." What Jesus is saying here is that it matters more how we respond to unwelcome than whether or not the town itself is being unwelcoming. I promise you, people aren't going to remember how a town welcomed you, but they will remember if you show up at a town and you threaten to burn it to the ground. Again, as followers of Jesus, all of our actions point back to the one we follow. And if violence isn't an option for Jesus, it cannot be for his followers either. This week, I've been thinking about how we, as modern Christians, can model this early church's practice of receiving hospitality. In our scripture passage for today, Jesus tells the 70 that they are to eat what is set before them. I think this means that when someone offers you food, even if it's not what you would prefer to eat, you should eat it because they have gone out of their way to provide something for you. When I think about my own life, I'm fairly good at eating what is set before me, except when it comes to coffee. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a little bit of a coffee drinker. Or as my mother would say, I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. I have very strong opinions about the right way to drink coffee, iced with a little bit of cream. I also have very strong opinions about what is the correct roast and how that coffee should be prepared. However, I've come to realize that not everyone drinks coffee, and certainly not everyone drinks iced coffee. Coffee is not a popular drink in many other places of the world. When I was in France, I learned that they either drink espresso or they drink this thing called Nescafé. Well, espresso makes me see sounds. And Nescafé is two chocolate milk, what is kind of, so anyway, when you're in France, they're like, here's coffee and it's Nescafé, and it kind of tastes like this powdery substance thing that, like, it's just not good. I don't think I'm describing it well either. But in most of Asia, they don't drink coffee, they drink tea. When I was in Nepal, my first morning for breakfast, they offered me a cup of what can only be described as sugar with a little bit of tea. But my favorite is Russia. In Russia, they drink black tea, or vodka, or both for breakfast. So depending on where I am in the world, I have to adjust my expectations about what I'm going to be drinking with my breakfast. Yet, when somebody offers me something to drink, unless it is like really gonna make me sick, I do my best to drink it. Whether it is powdery Nescafé in France, sweet tea in Nepal, or vodka in Russia. Or my personal favorite is coffee at church potlucks that is so hot it burns my tongue and I can't taste anything for the rest of the week. Even though it's uncomfortable to drink something other than what you are used to, I can say firsthand you will not die if you don't get your morning cup of coffee in the morning. But if I don't drink what somebody offers me, I risk offending them. And if you offend someone, it's really hard to have a relationship with them. Friends, we live in a culture that trains us to rely on ourselves, not on our families, our communities, certainly not on the hospitality of strangers. Our culture also tells us that our individual preferences are more important than our relationships with our neighbors. One of the reasons that I love to travel is because it forces me to step outside of my comfort zone and rely on other people. Forcing myself to eat what is set before me, even if I'm not quite sure what it is, or that it's been properly cooked, or whether or not it's actually coffee, reminds me that God is in control, not me. That God continues to provide for me through the encounters I have with strangers. And that it is at the table that God is actively working to bring all people and all nations together. Friends, one place where we can practice eating what is set before us is when we gather at the Lord's table for communion. In our denomination, we have what's called an open table, meaning anyone can come forward to receive the elements. You don't have to be a member of this particular church. There's a lot of beauty in having an open table, but setting an open table means we don't get to choose who comes forward. And unless you volunteer to serve as a deacon or as an elder, you don't get a say in the food we serve either. Communion is one way that the church can practice eating what is set before us. Yet when we receive the elements, we embody our faith that God is the one who is ultimately in control. That God sets the table. All we have to do is show up. At the table, we catch a glimmer of the kingdom of God, where folks from every nation, neighborhood, class, creed, and confession all gather together to partake of this holy mystery. Friends, when we eat what is set before us, we proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. And the best part of this holy mystery is that we don't have to do anything to be invited to it. Communion is a free gift of God for the people of God. Friends, all is ready. The table is set. In a few moments, we will partake of this holy mystery together. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.